Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning. You all right? I hope you are. I sincerely hope you are. Me? Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too shabby. It is 8 in the a.m. British Summer Time on Thursday, already Thursday, the 6th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, isn't a thing. Do hit the like button. I've got to try and remember to say that every single time because it does make a difference, apparently. I'm no expert on the algo, but apparently it really makes a difference. Do hit the thumbs up. Do hit the like button, please. You would, if you don't mind. Make sure you're subbed to the channel, of course. Why wouldn't you be? That would be madness not to be. Get the bell on. Lovely stuff. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Disembodied voice. The all-powerful producer. All right, that's enough faffing about, isn't it? It's quite enough fannying around for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. Let's do a show. Why not? What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors lying to us about by omission, if by nothing else? We've got plagiarism row professor resigns. Oh, he quit. It was too hot in the kitchen. That black fella who lied about everything. Apparently, looks like he did. All right, he's quit. Just shown to have been sort of actual Walter Mitty, an actual charlatan. Okay, and West End stab rampage. Some woman went around stabbing random blokes in Covent Garden with some scissors. No one was killed. White woman, crazy hair. It's one I can actually believe. It's just a mental health, like look crazy. All right, let's get into it. The Times, the venerable Times, which isn't very venerable anymore. It's globalist slop like all the rest of them. All right, what have we got? Defiant councils pledge to ignore new rules on single-sex spaces. All right, breaking the law then. We've had this a little bit before, haven't we? Once or twice it's been in the news cycle, where the Supreme Court in Britain had ruled that on single-sex spaces, right? Men, transgender men, transvestite men, men that dress up as women and want to be called by a woman's name, they're not actually allowed in female-only spaces, like female toilets or whatever, female changing rooms and stuff. The law is now that that's not allowed. Right? Completely common-sense ruling by our Supreme Court, and that they used the ECHR to sort of bolster that in some way. Okay. Now, they made that ruling a while ago, like a year ago or more. This is what I'm learning this morning. It actually only came into full-blown legal effect, like, yesterday. Or is it today, even? Yesterday or today? Where it's like, okay, that's the line of sand. This is the day when it's actually going to be illegal. And I guess they could be prosecuted for not doing it from now on. So where we've had a few stories, one or two stories, in the past few weeks or months about it, you know, like, was there, I think it was it Staffordshire Police? It was one of the police forces where they weren't doing it. Well, the actual law hadn't come into full-blown effect yet. Well, it has now. Well, it has now. Okay, fine, all right. Now, some councils, this story says, so a fair few councils across the country are saying that they're going to defy it. Just simply breaking the law at this point. Right, what's reasonable and normal? That went out the window for them a long time ago. Some big dude in a dress is allowed to go in a women's toilet and changing room. What? Freaks? Why do they want women to be in danger? Why should a transvestite's right to go in women's only spaces trump the safety of women? That's mad. It's disgusting and mad. But we're told here, surprise, surprise, it's Labour, Green and Liberal Democrat controlled councils that say they're going to defy it, not Reform or Conservative ones. What a surprise. A few all around the country, but particularly London, or at least this story focuses on London ones. Lambeth, Hackney, Haringey, Lewisham, Southwark, Waltham Forest. Yeah, they're just London ones. And they say no, it's an attack on sort of trans rights. It will make non-binary people feel unwelcome and unsafe and stuff. What psychos. Absolute perverts. Why do you want women to be unsafe? That's what this is. That's what this is about. You know, some massive dude who's just decided to wear a dress. You're going to let him in female-only space. Why do you want them to feel unsafe or be unsafe? Why do you want that? Because they're disgusting. Freaks. Weirdos. Psychos. I hope they're taken to court. I hope people prosecute them somehow, some way, for that. Force them to stop doing this. Some sort of Russian strike on Kiev. It's just endless, isn't it? It's just endless there. Every single day, if you want to see. Oh, here's a strike in Russia by Ukraine. Here's a strike in Ukraine by Russia. See the video the other day? It was some beach in the Crimea. So Russian, nominally Russian territory. Russian holiday goers are on a beach in the Crimea. Some drone falls out of the sky and lands on the beach, killing quite a few people, I think. Half a dozen people, a dozen people, I don't know, including a couple of kids, according to reports. There's footage of that. It's quite a long way away, so it's not sort of like disgusting, grotesque snuff footage, but apparently people died in it. This drone just hitting a beach, big explosion. Just goes on and on and on. Could talk about sort of the nature of the battlefield and the Donbass and the demographics and, again, but battlefield realities. The Kiev crew, the pro-Ukraine crew, Slava Ukraini, they get upset if you ever talk about battlefield reality. I get told I don't know what I'm talking about. Have made long-form content with Apostolic Majesty a true historical genius. I'm just an armchair wannabe nerd compared to Apostolic Majesty. He's the real deal. I'm just a fan of history with a mic, nothing more than that. He's an actual expert, an actual genius. Did do long form bit of content, really long. Was it 3-4 hours? Talking all about the history of Ukraine, or that part of the world that today is called Ukraine. Going back to the 7th, 8th, 9th century. The whole history of it. But I don't know what I'm talking about, apparently. Okay. Battlefield realities don't matter, apparently. Okay. Here we go. Plagiarism row professor resigns from Cambridge. Yeah, he couldn't handle it. But he's just obviously caught out in a number of lies, isn't he? Decision comes as university itself launches inquiry after fresh claims of dishonesty revealed by the Times. Yeah. With his honorary doctorate cap and gown. Well, he can be judged by the content of his character, can't he? Which seems to be wanting, doesn't it? A lot of the pages, front pages, go with that story. A fair bit. In fact, that's front and centre on the Mail website. Look at him, is he wearing makeup? Revealed how Cambridge plagiarism professor passed. This is new to me. I think they might have updated the webpage in the last half hour, 40 minutes. Passed off Rafa Nadal's inspirational quote as his own. Yeah, that wasn't the headline 40 minutes ago. I think they've updated that, changed that. Well, he's saying that something Rafa Nadal said he claimed was his. Oh, so embarrassing, isn't it? So embarrassing. As he quits Cambridge Post after the university launch probe. Yeah, there's so many. They just keep coming out more and more and more and more things, he said. More and more lies. I find getting caught in the tiniest of lies so embarrassing. so embarrassing that at some point in my teens or my early 20s, can't even remember exactly what it was, but I got caught in some little nonsense lie. Like I lied to someone about why I couldn't go to the pub or something, and it transpired that I just lied. I'd made something up. No one really cares. No one cares. Right, it's not a big deal. But I just find that something like that, just something like that, so embarrassing. That I sort of made a vow to myself. I wouldn't do that ever again. Just be honest. Even if being honest is embarrassing, right? Even if the truth is sort of shameful or embarrassing, it's better than lying and being caught out in that lie. I always think that. Even things like where you got something slightly wrong in good faith, but then sort of refused to accept that you did. That's terribly embarrassing to me as well. That's why I'm really happy to be corrected. Like if I say something and it's just factually wrong, and I'm corrected on it, happy to be, really. A lot of people can't even do that, are not even sort of capable of doing that, are they? Like they had a bad take sometimes in this sphere, people that do online content. They have a bad take. A few weeks, months, years later, it was shown, oh, look, you said that thing a couple of years back. How badly incorrect was that? No, because it wasn't, you didn't quite understand what I meant. What I really was saying was, no, just accept you were wrong. It's okay. It's all right. Okay to have been wrong. To err is human, isn't it? All right, this guy. It's a filthy liar. Disgusting. I find it so gross. I would never, ever want to be around somebody like this. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want them to talk to me. Ugh, revolting. All right. Let's move on. I've spent more on the time than I should have done already, but it is on quite a few of the front pages. Oh, look, there you go. So the Mail, that's their front page. It's the most important thing in the world, apparently, according to the Mail. Scandal, the left dismissed as racism. Ageism professor resigns as Cambridge investigate. Just hours after probe launched, Jason Arday quit saying he needs time to heal. Pathetic. Needs time to heal. What, from being caught out in your own liars? You need time to learn how to be honest. That's what you need. Don't worry about healing. Learn how to be an honest person. It's too late, isn't it? By the time you're that age, you're caught out in many, 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 many lies. It's just part of your character now, isn't it? It's just very difficult for someone like that to ever start to be genuinely honest across the board. All right. Okay, the Telegraph, the Tory Graph, pretty much slop as much as all the other ones are. Tiny bit less, perhaps. Cambridge professor quits after false claims. All right, got it. Oh, look, Mr. Wesley Streeting MP is sure to lose his seat at the next election, and who is a practicing homosexualist somehow finds himself Secretary of Defence. This story says that the Crypto King, talk about who that is in a moment, fraudster linked to Streeting donations. Do you remember Sam Bankman-Fried? Harry, because you're so young, I wonder if you... Does that name mean anything to you? Do you remember him?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Got to remember when you're properly middle-aged, like me, that some things that are only a few years ago already might be outside of... So, okay, for people, Zoomers, who might be watching, or anyone just doesn't remember, it was only a few years ago, I think it was only like 2 years ago, was it? 3 years ago? There was this guy... Youngish Jewish guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, that's his name. Scam Wankman Greed. He was caught in some sort of giant fraud, crazily massive fraud, where on a number of different levels as well. One of it, he made like his own coin, you know, like a digital coin, or it was more than that, it was like tokens. I don't even understand it all. Some sort of tokens. I won't pretend to understand the details of all these various scams and frauds and things. But it was just on a giant scale. And he went, they got him, they caught him. And he went to prison for a long time, if I seem to recall. Like a long time, like in the up in the like the 20 years sort of range. Can't remember the exact number of years. Pardon me. And but what one thing that he had done. Oh, and he was like a poster boy as well. He was all over the news all the time before his the scandal broke. The whole thing was a fake, phony, like fraud empire. He was already sort of well known and in the papers and on TV and mixing with all the most important people, like whatever, Bill Gates or whatever, basketball stars, American football stars, whatever. He was already famous. That's why it was such a big story, such a big scandal. But one of the things he did do was he was like giving away a lot of his money for like philanthropic ventures, like giving it away to sort of good causes a lot. Also donating loads to both the Democrat and the Republican Party. You know how that goes, you know that game. All right, well, this story is simply that one particular company that donated to Wes Streeting's political coffers was run by or was closely associated with Scam Greed. Sam Bankman-Fried. So there you go. Apparently, Wes Streeting has said, we had no idea. He would say that, though, wouldn't he? But I can believe him. I'm prepared to accept that, I suppose. Benefit of the doubt again. He said he had no idea that that money came from a company that was associated with Sam Bankman-Fried. Okay. I think it is good for people to look into where all our politicians get their money and funding from. Yeah, why not? Why not? Why should that only apply to sort of reform? Yeah, let's have a look at David Lammy. Who's Jules Brown? Is it Jules Brown? I think it was Jules Brown. Some person, I think their name was Jules Brown, just given David Lammy loads and loads of money. We have no idea who he is or what he might expect in return for that money. No idea. I think David Lammy tops the tables for accepting the most sort of outside money. If it's not the top one, it's near the top. Yeah, every single MP. Why not? Why not? Let's have a full hangout, so to speak. Full house cleaning. Let's go through with a fine-tooth comb every single MP. Why not? Why not? If you're going to apply that sort of thing to reform, and I've got no problem with applying it to reform in principle, why not? Again, why not? I'd want my politics to be absolutely squeaky clean, please. Don't mind. Oh yeah, just apply it to all of them. That would be nice, wouldn't it? All right, here's a story. National debt rises above $3 trillion. That's got almost no bearing on reality. Those numbers are not sustainable for Britain. If it was the United States, $3 trillion would be a lot. I mean, the United States, isn't it? 35, 40 trillion. I don't know. The number's astronomical. But for Britain, 3 trillion is crazy. The national debt rises above £3 trillion as Labour borrows £4,000 per second. That's unsustainable. Quite clearly unsustainable. They're running us off a cliff. Speed running us to the edge of a cliff and then straight over without breaking stride. That's what they're doing. Look at this chump. Alistair Heath. In the Telegraph. It's supposed to be a bit more right-leaning, right of centre, a little bit. It's supposed to be a little bit more patriotic, perhaps even nativist. No, none of it. None of it. Look at this muppet. Alistair Heath. It is time to call out Rupert Lowe's toxic politics. Is it? Is it? Who are you? Well, we can't have a country. That's what you're saying. Toxic politics. I had a quick look into the actual article and it was like about Rupert Lowe's flirting with white supremacy and stuff. Go home. Go home. Pathetic weakling. We need our country back. We need a new politics which is honest about our demographic decline. an ultimate replacement. Not interested in hearing some pearl-clutching bitch moan about white supremacy. Done with all that. We've done that. We've been down that route, haven't we? Being browbeaten and bullied about white supremacy and racism. Ooh, racism. We've done that. Done that for quite a few decades now. Where did he get us? Ruining our demographic. It's ruining our demographic security. Getting our women raped. Mass casualty events and on and on and on. Staring down the barrel of a future sectarian bloodbath and nightmare along racial and religious lines. Tribal lines. That's where that got us. I'll tell you what, Alistair Heath. Why don't we wait and see about this sectarian nightmare and then we'll come back to you and you can moan about someone like Rupert Lowe's toxic politics at that point. Yeah? When we're in a sort of Lebanon, Yugoslavia-style horror situation. I'll check back in with you, Alistair. You can moan about toxic politics then. Toxic politics. Ugh, what a weakling. What a subversive, spineless child. Ugh, get away from me. All right, The Guardian. Ready? What's that disgusting stench? It was like the bog of eternal stench. What is that? Ugh, cut in the back of my throat. Oh, it's horrible. It's making me feel sick. What is it? Oh, it's The Guardian. That's what that is. The Guardian. Absolutely revolting. Sickening. It's enough to turn your stomach. Okay. Academic resigns amid plagiarism accusations. There's this woman. I don't know why they've blurred her face out. Because in other papers, other news organs, they haven't. So... she's got some weird middle-aged, crazy-haired white woman. Was in Covent Garden. I know Covent Garden well. It's a lovely bit of London. Lovely, lovely bit of London. She went round stabbing, it seems, apparently, according to reports, just completely at random, but always men, with a pair of scissors. And stories, the men were taken to hospital, none of them with apparently sort of life-threatening injuries. There's a picture of one guy just standing there. He's got a little bit of blood on his back, but he's just sort of standing there. He's obviously not in any sort of dire straits or anything. Resist the urge to sing a Dire Straits song. And then the police turned up really quite quickly, apparently. Well, they will be sort of patrolling around there anyway. They sort of cornered her. A standoff for a few minutes, and then eventually they just sort of tackled her and got her to the ground. Another photo I saw of her before it happens, like sort of a CCTV image, her walking on. She looks, you know, when you can tell sort of at a glance someone's got mental health issues. Who knows? But, and that's what they are saying. It's some sort of mental breakdown episode type thing. All right, so that happened. Police find explosives in drone at Leipzig airport. You believe that? And the story is saying that it was, well, they say the Russians are probably behind it because like that, the bag or the package that this drone was found in was destined to go on some sort of Ukrainian owned airliner. There you go. Not much more to the story than that at the moment, but that's what they're saying. All right. NHS told to prepare for annual heatwave crisis. Yeah, it gets hot in the summer. It always has. Okay, the sun. What slop are they serving up? All right, they go with that crazy woman. If they even, I guess they blurred out her face a bit less. Mayhem in tourist hotspot. West End stab rampage. Woman held after four hurt in scissor attack. Okay, that is all there is to it. 400,000 sign like some sort of petition to keep killers in jail. The killers of that cop, PC Harper. Another story I saw on the main websites was yeah, the police force he worked for are definitely going to try and intervene in some way to try and keep those killers in jail for longer. Right, the Express. Oh, it's a good paper. Can read your Express now, if you want to, if you want globalist slop. Dame Preeti Patel, blasts plan for two of PC Andrew Harper's killers to go free. Early release is a betrayal of hero officer. Shut up, Preeti. What, everything you did when you were Home Secretary was a betrayal to everyone in this country, every native person. I would put Preeti Patel right near the top of my list of people to stand trial for treason. How Preeti Patel has got the balls to show her face in public after what she did as Home Secretary under Boris and at that point in time. She is in some serious way responsible for our invasion by foreign barbarians. How many rapes and murders are on her conscience? As far as she's concerned, I'm sure none. I'm sure she sleeps like a baby every night. She's hoping to get back in government, if anything. She's the arbiter of what's right and good about justice and things. Yeah, right. You're an enemy of the people, Preeti Patel. An enemy. I would put you right at the top of this. It's people like Boris and Blair and Rishi and Cameron, people like that. And just below that is people like her and Braverman and Cleverly. All these people. Gove. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She should answer for her crimes against the state, against the people. Preeti Patel. You're going to tell us what is and isn't good and right and just. Nah. You're filth. Filth. Okay. The Metro. The Metro. That also smells gross. Like an old PE changing room. It was like socks. As killers get out of jail early, my lad still serving time after phone theft in 2005. I mean, I read this morning. I was like, wait, what? What are the details of that? That doesn't sound right. When they read the details of it, and I don't know any details about this case other than what the Metro have printed. But it does say that, yeah, he went to prison for like 2 years in 2005 for some sort of phone theft. But then whilst in prison was deemed like just a danger. And they kept him on some sort of rolling... some sort of thing where it's rolling with parole, where it's like, we'll check up on you every, I don't know, whatever it is, every 3 months, 6 months, once a year, I don't know. Every now and again, a parole board or whatever will look at you and say, are you still like an actual danger to society and other people? We've decided you are, so we've got to keep you in prison. It's one of those cases. It's like not some poor choir boy who stole a phone one time and is still in prison 20 years later. It's not really that, is it? Well, just according to what I read on the Metro. But nonetheless, it does seem, doesn't it, that this early release stuff is being applied in an odd way. When I was on the main podcast, was it just yesterday, was it? Yeah. You think, okay, if they're not going to deport all the foreign nationals in our prisons, or the dual citizen ones, and then apparently don't have an appetite to build new prisons or anything like that, even temporary ones. Okay, if you've decided you're just going to let people out early, why not let out the absolute least dangerous ones first? Ones that have done sort of the least egregious crimes first. Why are killers getting let out? Why aren't they bottom of the list to do that? Why not? It's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. Surely there's quite a lot of people in prison for far, far, far less serious crime than violent crime and murders and things. you're going to insist you want to need to let people out early. Surely do the non-violent ones first. No? No, apparently not. Surely this policy is going to be deeply, deeply, profoundly unpopular. Who could possibly be in favour of it other than some sort of full Marxist, some sort of full communist, some sort of full Fabian socialist who just wants, some sort of green, who just wants the fabric of our society to be ruined. They want people to be less safe. Anyone other than those people, who could possibly be enthusiastic about this policy? All right. That tea's done. Move up to my backup water. The second mug isn't a second cup of tea, it's just water. Some people do ask that sometimes. Oh, it's got two cups of tea. The first one's gone cold. How hasn't the second one gone cold then? Well, it's because it's not tea. Oh, why aren't you drinking your water out of a glass? What barbarian would drink water out of a mug? Well, that's more of a fair question, but especially after the logo and stuff, so. Breakfast with Bo. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC, don't you forget about me. Right, the Financial Times, let's get on with it. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, get the bell on. Financial Times, okay. There's a Russian strike in Kiev, okay. What's new? China begins global tax hunt reaching back decades as fiscal pressure grows. Ultra-rich in China face deep scrutiny. Tough curbs on offshore capital flows. Budget revenues stagnate. Is that interesting enough to talk about? China cracking down on some of their ultra-rich capital flows in and out of China. Josh Firm's quite good on this. He's done a number of segments over the years. Looking at in some detail the Chinese economy and whether it is actually as strong and as stable as it seems. You know, China enjoys massive growth year after year after year, massive, massive growth. I can't even remember the last numbers, but it's like it will be like 4, 5, 6%, which is massive compared to the West. Massive. Or more sometimes even. Is it a little bit of a house of cards, you could argue? There were some sort of true global recession, not like the 2007 to 2009 credit crunch, not that, but like a true depression, like the 1930s style depression, where most of the whole world really sort of turtles up a bit and stops buying manufactured goods from China and all sorts of things. And then with China's own economy sort of, well, as I say, a little bit of a house of cards built on sand. If the American economy should implode in some way or another, their giant, giant national debts catch up with them. Their trillions, tens of trillions of dollars of debts. Or maybe the American political system would fail to, one time, fail to come to some sort of political agreement with their debt ceiling. You know that happens every now and again, doesn't it? Usually the Democrats actually play chicken with the debt ceiling deadline. Something like that happens. If there was some sort of collapse of the dollar or something, would the Chinese economy go down the toilet with it? Yeah, probably would, actually. Is it just like this standalone behemoth, which is completely self-sufficient and self-sustaining and all that sort of thing? No. It's reliant on everyone else as well, like all big global economies. Anyway, you could go on and on about that for a while. Left-wing Democrat Michigan's win seats staged for pivotal midterm Senate battle. Not won't talk too much about that specifically, but the midterms are coming up, aren't they? It's only a few weeks, isn't it, to the midterms? Pollsters are saying that the Democrats are likely to take back Congress and that the Senate is on a knife edge. That will dent Mr. Trump's authority, won't it? His actual power to get things done. Will Congress even sort of tie his hands in regard to Iran? Who knows? Maybe the pollsters will be a bit wrong. I've seen other people say, oh no, Trump is set for some sort of stonking win. Well, the Republicans, set for a stonking win. It's all a bit sort of leftoid propaganda cope saying that the Democrats are going to do really well at the midterms. I guess we'll just have to see. We'll just have to watch. Watch this space. A little bit about Dicey. Just a continued story of that George Cottrell Posh George and his mum Fiona and that £500,000 that went through one of Tice's companies to reform. The whole financial scandal that Nigel is embroiled in and it heavily implicates or is completely involved with Tice himself as well. I'll say it again, I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt until we find out what did or didn't actually happen and if any rules were actually broken or not. It really could be a scandal that destroys the party and quite a few political careers, or it could be absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was completely legit, the movements of that money around between various people and accounts. Could be completely legit. I don't know, just have to wait and see. Just have to wait and see. All right, The Mirror. What pro-Labour, anti-reform, anti-restore slop are they serving up to us today? What sloppy joes are they trying to force down our neck? Finally, mental health hope. Just a puff piece for Labour and Andy Burnham. All right. Help is on the way. More than 150 new centres set to relieve pressure on A&E departments. PM tells The Mirror families are facing unbearable strain, but we will fix crisis. Wasn't it Labour that basically... Oh no, it was the Tories under John Major, actually, wasn't it? But wasn't it the uni party that got rid of most of our asylums? But now Andy Burns... Look, he's just in constant... Like Starmer, he seems to be in sort of constant apology mode. That's not really what I want in a leader. Like constant, like, oh no, I'm sorry about everything. Oh no, I'm sorry about Hillsborough. Oh no, I'm really sorry about the NHS. Oh, really sorry. Oh, we'll try our best. We're listening. I'm listening. I don't want that energy in a leader. I want a positive, firm vision and someone that's hell-bent on doing it. He's got spine. Look at it. Does this face really speak of having spine? No. More than 150 new NHS mental health centres. I'll wait and see. I'll believe it when I see it. How are you going to pay for that anyway, Andy? Oh, you're just going to borrow more money that we can't really pay back. Or take us centuries to pay back. Writing in today's Mirror. Oh, so there he's actually writing for the Mirror, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mirror is now has been for a while, isn't it? A long while. Just simply a Labour Party propaganda organ, isn't it? All right. The Star, what a slop have we got? Okay. You remember how it's been a bit hot in Britain recently, this summer? It has been warm, hasn't it? Sometimes that will sort of effectively bleach the grass. It'll make the grass go look all yellow, won't it? Climate change. That's what that is. That's climate change. That's man-made CO2 in the atmosphere that's driving climate change. If we're not careful, all the ice caps will melt and the sea level will rise and there won't be an Earth left to save if we don't act now. Got to pay 40p for a carrier bag now. Because the grass has gone yellow. All right, so they've decided... The Star has decided that there's a field. There's a field in Kent. Southeast England, where the grass has gone all yellow. There's some cows on it. Looks a little bit like a Wild West ranch in somewhere like Arizona or something, doesn't it? A little bit like that if you use your imagination. Oh, that's it. So they've invoked Clint Eastwood. Increasingly bizarre, isn't it? It's Kent Eastwood. His real name's Clint. Clint and Kent are similar. It's really sort of tenuous, isn't it, what they're doing here? Looks a little bit like a cattle drive in America. Of course, one of the prairies of America or something. It's Kent Eastwood. I mean, you get it. You can see what they're doing. It's not that complicated, is it? Oh, and then they've photoshopped in a picture of Clint Eastwood as well, if you didn't get it. what they're doing, what they're saying there. That sort of transcends slop to me and is in the realm of sort of bizarro. What are you doing? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Star. Again, can you imagine some people at the Star going to the senior editor who signs off on what the front page is going to look like tomorrow? And they're like, okay, stay with me now. Hear me out. We've got this picture of where the grass has gone yellow with cows on it. Does it look like something out of a Clint Eastwood film? Yeah, stay with me, boss. Stay with me. We're thinking of ready. It's Kent Eastwood. And the senior editor's like, yes, genius, print. Yes, we'll love it. Whack a picture of Clint Eastwood, a young Clint Eastwood. Good journalism. All right, well, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly absurd and infuriating front pages from the legacy corporate lamestream media. All right, should we do our poll? We usually have a look at our poll about this time of the show, don't we? Okay, what have we got? We asked you guys this morning, how long do you think the Iran war will last? Give me a few options. Do you think it'll be 1 month? Oh, sorry. One more month, one more year, until the end of Trump's presidency, or forever? Forever, ever? All right, and until the end of Trump's presidency wins it with 40%. To be honest, if I was taking that poll, that's probably the one I would click on, I would have thought. Because forever is... it comes in second there with 31%. I mean, there's one thing to say forever, but not ever, ever, right? Not ever, ever. They talk about Iraq being a forever war, or Vietnam being a forever war or something. It's not actually forever, of course. I mean, I don't think anyone... But still, forever is sort of shorthand for a generation or something. Okay, one more year, 21%, and only 9% of people say one more month. Okay, so until the end of Trump's presidency, it's got 40%. Yeah, I think I would almost certainly have to click on that option if I were taking it. They go, no, no one really thinks it's going to end anytime soon, then. Certainly not imminently. Just going on and on and on, isn't it? Like, Trump was saying earlier this week, we're sitting down with talks with Iran on Monday. And Iran came out and said, no, we're not. I don't know what he's talking about. We're just simply not doing that. No, we're not talking to them. Getting embarrassing. Getting a little bit embarrassing. And Trump threatening, even just yesterday, threatening Iran again. If you don't do X, Y, Z, we'll send you back to the Stone Age. I'm paraphrasing. But you'll get hit hard, so hard. They don't seem to care, do they, Donald? They're not blinking, are they? You've reached the limit of what an air campaign can do, largely, haven't you? Wasn't there, I saw a story yesterday, some sort of internal email, some sort of internal memo going around the Pentagon, or was it the State Department, I can't remember, saying, anyone got any ideas? Basically that, again, I'm paraphrasing. Anyone, anybody, got any ideas what other strategies we can do to force Iran to capitulate or just surrender? Anybody? What would Dr. Turley say about that? Is that part of the 4D chess grand plan? Is that part of Trump and Rubio and Hegseth's master plan, is it? Just sending out emails to almost everyone. Anybody got any ideas? No? If Trump wants to stop Iran doing whatever they ultimately want to, change that regime to one that will actually play ball with the rest of the world properly, stop being a menace to that region, he's going to have to put boots on the ground, isn't he? They're not going to just collapse and implode. They're not going to, I don't think, are they? You can bomb them from the air until they haven't got much left. You can threaten them all you like. They're not just going to simply capitulate, are they? I guess Trump thought, because that war started, didn't it, if you recall, fresh off the heels of that quite remarkable success against Maduro in Venezuela. I feel like Trump was like, thought, oh, we could do something similar in Iran. That worked so unbelievably well. If we just blow the Ayatollah into tiny smithereens, that will completely ruin the regime. We'll decapitate it, and that will just completely and utterly ruin them. Well, it just hasn't, has it? It just simply hasn't. All right, let's see, what else have we got? Young women tell BBC of rape, assault and harassment at Army Training College for Teenagers, which is in Harrogate. There's all sorts of problems like that in the army. And I remember Deep Cut. Does the name Deep Cut ring any bells? Not just women, men as well. Being abused in all sorts of ways, sometimes often to the point of that the young recruit committing suicide. Nothing to see here, apparently. Our Department of Defence. MOD, sorry, Ministry of Defence. MOD, we're in England. The MOD. No, there's nothing. It was unfortunate, but there was no real wrongdoing. There's nothing happened here. It's not a culture of like a weird assault and sex assault. Isn't there? Deep Cut, look it up if you're interested in your own time. All right, that freak. There's a couple more stories I wanted to get to. Ed Miliband has, because Ed Miliband is our foreign secretary now, the equivalent of the US Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio and Red Ed Miliband have got the same job, effectively. Parallel jobs. So they've met now. They've actually met. There you go. Look, there's a picture of them standing together. Bit of a mismatch, isn't it? This is interesting, because hasn't Ed Miliband been on record 4 years, going back to 2016 or whatever, 4 years, calling Trump all sorts of crazy names? Yeah. Yeah, he has. Let's watch this little 28-second clip. I think it's interesting. Let's watch this.
Yeah, hit that one, right? Mr. Miliband, do you still think the president is an idiot, a racist, and a misogynist? Sir, do you still hold a dim view of the president, and does it hamper your position?
We're looking forward to our meeting.
Oh, my God, look, pretending not to be absolutely mortified. Because the reporter saying that is standing right there. Everyone in that room can hear exactly what he just said. That Ed Miliband has called Trump a whole bunch of times. All the names. He's called him all the names. Racist, bigot, sexist, misogynist. All that thing. An idiot. It's sort of his big moment as foreign secretary, meeting the other most powerful foreign secretary in the world, Rubio. They're shaking hands, they're best of buddies now, special relationship, all that, don't you know? Look how happy Ed Miliband is pretending to be. Yeah, and that reporter's doing his job. Doing a good job. Because these people shouldn't be able to get away with that. That when you think it's politically expedient for you to just call someone like Trump an idiot and a racist and a sexist and a misogynist and all that stuff. But then now you want the world just to forget you ever said those things because it's not expedient. It's not good for you politically now. Well, no. I think that's great that reporter just did that. Like UK journalistic style. Just shouting out, just saying it. Yeah, good. Hope Ed Miliband is embarrassed, mortified. Look how they tried to laugh it off as well. Like Rubio tries to help him out a bit. Watch this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Of course we're going to. That's what a crazy. What kind of question are we going to be talking about Ukraine? Of course it's going to come up. I think bad and intergalactic affairs and all kinds of other things. So, all right, guys. Thank you.
What are you talking about, Marco? Marco goes, what kind of question is that? Well, it's a very prudent question. It's an apt question. It's a perfectly reasonable question, actually, Marco. What kind of question is that? What do you think? We're here talking about Ukraine, so? I don't care what your conversation was about. I'm asking a proper question. Does our foreign secretary still think your president is an idiot and a racist and a misogynist? Is that not an apt question? Not a relevant question? Of course it is. What kind of question is that? Perfectly reasonable question. All right, walk away then, Rubio. Yeah, just walk away. Yeah, don't worry about it. Here's a couple of things. Reform. That Sri Lankan man who wants to probably be our Home Secretary or something, Zia Yusuf. Do you remember when he quit? He threw his toys out the pram and quit Reform over, like, the hijab, some sort of hijab controversy. Anyway, he does say some basic things anyway sometimes, doesn't he? But that's good enough. Ugh, I don't want him to be leading my government in any real way. Be the Home Secretary. Ugh, get away. I don't need these people. These token brown people. Why do we need them? Are we ever going to have a white Home Secretary ever again? Just asking the question. That's a legit question. Will any party have the balls to pick a Home Secretary that's white ever again? Anyway, some credit where it's due for what it's worth. Form came out with an interesting policy. That firms that hire employer illegal immigrants will be brought to account for that. Firms face huge fines and bosses could be thrown in jail in new Reform migrant plan. An adjacent story, Reform pledged to imprison bosses using illegal migrants plus Turkish barber tip line. Nice. I've got no problem with any of that. Good. I'd love a raft of all sorts of policies like this. Also, make it as difficult as possible. Make it nigh on impossible for illegal migrants to function in this society. Why should they be able to? Why should they? Yeah, part of the policy was to fine big companies like Deliveroo. I think was it even pledged. Yeah, the Deliveroo law. There you go. That companies like Deliveroo, if they were found to just be employing illegal foreign migrants, which they obviously do. They obviously do. Uber Eats and Deliveroo, they could be fined up to 10% of their global revenues and even some of their bosses thrown in jail, prosecuted. Yeah, good. It's exactly what I'd like to see, stuff like that. Dozens of measures along that sort of line. Yeah. A tip line for barbershops. Yeah. I mean, whether that would actually, in principle, the idea is good, but whether it'll actually lead to much. Everyone knows where these shops are. Do you need a phone line to say, yeah, that there's a barber shop on my high street, or there's half a dozen barber shops on my high street that seem a bit dodgy and I'm suspicious of them, think they might be fronts for money laundering and people trafficking and drugs and all sorts of things. Like, yeah, everyone knows. Everyone's known about them for years now. Do you need a tip line? Still, it's better than nothing, right? Better than nothing. About just a lot of money and resources just dedicated to just getting rid of them. Truly prosecuting the people involved in these fronts. Fronts for money laundering and drugs and people trafficking and God knows what. Getting the people, prosecuting them, and if they're foreign nationals, deporting them back to their countries of origin. And just closing down their businesses, closing them down. In the short term, that'll mean more boarded up shop fronts on the high street in the short term. So be it. Before legit people can start businesses. Get rid of a lot of the red tape from starting business rates. Get rid of all of that. And encourage actual native Brits to start businesses again. All right. Oh, there's that guy. I got stabbed with a pair of scissors in Covent Garden. A crazy lady. All right, it is nearly 9 already. Should we do On This Day in History? I quite like doing that bit. You like guys, I like doing that bit. Don't you? On This Day in History, down through the centuries, what happened of note? The 6th of August. On the 6th of August in 1497, Italian explorer John Cabot returns to Bristol from North America, likely Newfoundland, becoming the first European known to do so since the Vikings. Interesting. This website does seem to like the age of discovery. I've seen more than one John Cabot factoid. I do seem to like it. Well, fair enough, it is interesting. I too am fascinated by all that sort of thing. Okay, on this day in 1661, the Treaty of the Hague is signed, under which the Dutch Republic relinquishes its claims to Dutch Brazil to Portugal in exchange for the equivalent of 63 metric tons of gold. Was it worth it? I mean, in the end, Brazil became ultimately sort of a millstone around Portugal's neck, didn't it, in the end? I mean, we're talking the 19th century by that point, but still. At the time, it probably would have seemed like a good deal to the Portuguese. This land of plenty, this land of sort of untapped, untold potential, possibly, untold resources, possibly. They might have thought, 63 metric tons of gold? Well, that's a drop in the ocean to what we might expect. Yeah, but in the end, okay, more of a hassle than it's worth, really. Like most colonial projects, to be honest. On this day in 1890, murderer William Kemmler becomes the first person executed by electric chair at Auburn Prison in New York. I don't know any details about that, but that's interesting. Electric chair, though. Doesn't seem to me a great method of execution. Unless you actually want to cause a bit of distress to the person, of course, unless that's what you want. We've all seen The Green Mile, haven't we? We've all heard horror stories of where people don't wet the sponge on your head and your whole head, people's whole head sets alight. I've watched a bit about things like this. There are some examples of when they've been electrocuting someone for ages. Well, I say ages, minutes and minutes and minutes. And they're not dying. And they're starting to sort of cook a bit. Other times, if it's done right, it's just a few seconds and it shuts you off and you die. But still, I've always thought, ever since I was a child, first heard about the electric chair, I've always thought, isn't that sort of overly elaborate? Like, if you've got someone and you decide you really want them executed, isn't like either hanging or a firing squad, isn't that sort of the obvious choices, really? To sort of put their lights out in an instant? Like, the electric chair doesn't kill people in an instant. I think hardly ever, if ever, really. Like, an instant. Anyway, all right. It's like the gas chamber. They have gas chambers, don't they, in the United States? Or do they anymore? Was the last one phased out, or do they still? Somebody in the chat would know. In the United States, in one or two states, they had the actual gas chamber, didn't they? Did they even have that in California? Seen the film Training Day with Denzel. You know what the gas chamber smells like? Pine oil. You want to be in pine oil heaven, boy? It's surely hanging. Done right by a professional. The noose is just right. The drop is the right length. Instant. Surely being shot through the heart by more than one high velocity rifle bullet. Instant, isn't it? Anyway, all right. Okay. Someone put hanging is an instant. It is if it's done right. It is. You're thinking of people dangling there, strangling. Well, then the executioner hasn't done it right. If the length of the drop is long enough and the noose is done in the right way, it is instant. Anyway, all right. I shouldn't look at the chat. It's a distraction, really. I'd like to interact with you guys more, but whenever I look down at it, it's like... All right. What else have we got? What other factors? The atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Right. 1945. A few days from the end of the war. Victory in Japan. 1945, on this day, an atomic bomb is dropped on the Japanese city of Hiroshima by US B-29. Superfortress, the Enola Gay. That's the name of the aircraft. That particular B-29, the Enola Gay. Yeah, Little Boy, wasn't it? The first one. Little Boy. Hiroshima. Could go on and on and on and on. There's so much to say about the war in the Pacific and Japan and the nuclear bombs. And there's so much to say. Where to even begin? Just say that on my own history-themed channel, Bodé's Epochs, on the website, the Loaf Seaters website, Ocetus.com, do consider heading over there and become a member for as little as £5 a month, the Bronze Tier membership package by paying rent, you get access to all the content that's behind the paywall just for a bronze tier by paying a month. I've got hundreds of hours, without exaggeration, hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content on there. I've got once or twice, I talk about one of the episodes was The Road to Pearl Harbor, where I talk all about Japan's journey from the sort of the 19th century through to the war, World War II. Somewhere else I talk all about the nuke as well, a bit. Anyway, there's so much to say. This isn't supposed to be a history show. All right. On this day in 1965, US President LBJ signs the Voting Rights Act prohibiting voting discrimination against minorities. Fair, I suppose. On this day in 1991, Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the internet, is there a bit more to it than that? That one Tim, on his own, invented the internet. Did he? Anyway, Tim Berners-Lee releases files describing his idea for the World Wide Web and debuts www as a publicly available service on the internet. Okay. All right. Mildly interesting. When you look into the details, Tim Berners-Lee was instrumental in a number of things. All right. Should we look at our Rumble Rants and YouTube Super Chats? Okay. Oh, someone moaning about my pronunciation of nuclear. Get over it. All right. Oh, it's not Global Church History. Oh. All right. And new Pigdog 5150. We've got a new one. All right. First couple of Pigdog and some of the others are Pigdog. All right. So first one says, is it too spicy to record? Let me read this before I read it out. Oh. You got this right. Is it too spicy to request the confinement for traitors and subversives? No. Can bring back treason laws. No. And stiff punishments for such. Okay, Pigdog again says, one of the huge problems are the middle of the road people, the live and let live people. I say this many times, but that sort of attitude, not enforcing high morals, is how we got here. Apathy, gross. Yeah, I'd agree, yeah. Yeah, the kumbaya, live and live. Just be tolerant. Just be tolerant of the most intolerant people in the world. We just have to be tolerant of their endless intolerance. Yeah, no. Just tolerate monsters and barbarians and rapists and murderers. Just tolerate it. No, just live and let live. No. I don't think so. I think that's crazy. I think you've abandoned morality if you do that. Yeah. Okay. Fictagious, that's their name, Fictagious says, funny how the media won't look into where the Green Party and its candidates get their funds from. Yeah, good point. Yeah, absolutely good point. Perfectly valid point, yeah. They'll just pick on the people they don't like. Yeah, they won't do it across the board. Yeah, absolutely. Next one is Pigdog 5150 again. Says, did you see Ed Miliband shaking hands with Rubio? Yeah, I guess you sent that in much earlier. Or you did. You sent it in at like 20 past 8, so we covered that. You've put, absolutely disgusting. Of telling the truth, I could never bring myself to lie with the action of shaking his hand, pretending he is acceptable. Yeah. Yeah, fair point. All right, GWFF says, ITM, Bo. What's ITM? What's ITM stand for? You just put ITM, Bo, exclamation mark. I know you're a fan of the show and the channel, though, so I'm guessing it's something positive or pleasant. Harry, do you know what that is? Is that a well-known, like, Zoomer thing?
No, not sure.
ITM? Okay. All right. And then you've put, oh, pat yourself on the back for the Alistair Heath rant. Cheers. Up against the best I've heard from you yet. Oh, thank you. It's all off the cuff here. I've got no script. I've got no auto cue. That's just how I roll. That's how I do. That's how I do, baby. And then you put, what a snivelling traitor tosspot that man is. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for your courage. Oh, well, that's kind of you to say. Thank you for watching. Appreciate it. Okay, there's a few more. The next two are from Fallen Firebird. I'll read them one after the other if you don't mind. You've put, performative pandering to mental health always ignores the deep cause. That for all its benefits, something is profoundly soul-destroying about modern Western society. No purpose, no tradition, etc. You're quite right. There's sort of a deep malaise in Western societies, aren't there? Sort of a deep issue going on there. There's something slightly distracting outside the studio. The next one, Fallen Firebird, says, on this day in history, all right, Alexander the Great besieged the Persian garrison at Halicarnassus on the western coast of modern Turkey, commanded by the Greek mercenary general Eamon Holmes. You got me good then. Now all I'm thinking is that a genuine Alexander fact when you've just added an Eamon Holmes joke right at the end of it? Or is the whole thing nonsense just to do the Eamon Holmes joke? On my own channel, my original channel, History Bro, do you think I've got 5 hours, not an exaggeration, 5 straight hours talking about the campaigns and adventures and life and times of Alexander the Great? It's not behind a paywall, it's completely free. Just type in History Bro to YouTube, scroll down, it's one of my first ones, it's an older one. 5 hours. Loads of quotes from the original sources, from like Curtius and Arrian and Plutarch. Do you reckon that's there? Oh, it's there, it's free, check it out. You want to know all about the campaigns and offensive of Alexander? Let me tell you about it. Your friendly neighbourhood history bro walk you through it in extraordinary detail. You don't have to read Arrian for yourself. I'll pick out all the best bits, all the juicy bits, read them out for you. Not behind a paywall. Okay. I wonder if Alexander besieging Halicarnassus was on this day. In like, what, 328 BC or whatever it was, I don't know. Like 338 or something. I can't remember the dates. All right, anyway, moving on. Last two here. Fictagus says, don't you want Axel the Child Killer's last day to be the longest last day of his life? Seems like a good deterrent. Well, like, you're talking about torture. I mean, probably shouldn't go into much detail about that because of T's and C's and stuff, but I have talked about the gibbet before, and the gibbet is both, can be both sort of the scaffold that the hanging is got, but also another definition, another usage of the word gibbet is sort of basically a small box or a metal frame that you can just fit a person standing up in, right? You put them in that metal frame or that metal wooden box, whatever it is. And then you hang that up for all to see. And then you just leave them there. There's no hanging, there's no stabbing, no shooting. You just leave them there in the gibbet. And eventually they die of sort of exposure or dehydration. Take a few days. Not insanely painful, but the horror of it. Knowing that you're just left there to die of exposure to the elements and or hunger or probably really thirst. Like a few days. The gibbet. Okay, Global Churches. Oh, Global Churches has got one. He says, I went too early. Yeah, that's a thing. Apparently, I didn't know this. But if he, or anyone, types in a Rumble Rant too soon, too early in the morning, either it doesn't register or it certainly doesn't register on my screen that I get to look at and read out. So Global Church History was too early for his own good. Still, he says, went too early. And then we've got our two daily Global Church History facts. He says, today in 1284 AD, Genoese defeated Pisans at Malora in the largest medieval naval battle. Okay, that's interesting. Well, Pisa, the city of Pisa, I guess that is what you're talking about, and the Genoese. It's interesting, in the early medieval period, or even the middle medieval period, some of the Italian city-states were sort of the most important players in terms of naval power. You know, like the Venetians and the Genoese. And I know that, particularly the northern, central and northern Italian city-states vying for power among themselves. There was no single unified Italy until, what, the 19th century? Mark, wasn't it? Same goes for Germany, right? It's only in the age of Bismarck, really. You get a real Germany in our modern sense of it. Anyway, fascinating. All right, and the other factoid you've said is in 1588, the Spanish Armada. That's the classic year. You want to start getting a framework in your mind of what happened when throughout all of recorded human history. The best thing to do is pick a few key dates and start pinning things around that, like 1066. Did something happen before 1066 or after? 1945. Da, da, da. 1588 is one of those. Very good one. Well, especially if you're British or Anglo. 1588. Did something happen before that or after that? Because 1588 is the Spanish Armada year. Okay. You've put 1588, the Spanish Armada anchored near Calais. So the English sent 8 fire ships their way. To break them up real good. Real quick. Great stuff. All right. Now do the thanks, Global Church History. GCH. A few people in the chat will call him GCH. Whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, well, my glance is at it. Is that something about GCHQ? And they've just failed to put the Q at the end. Is there something about GCHQ? Oh, no, sorry. They're talking about Global Church History. GCH. He called himself Global Church History Question Time. It might be GCHQ. All right, anyway, moving on. The YouTube Super Chats. What have we got here? We've got a fair few, 20 or so. Let's do them. Straight in with a Eamon Holmes joke. Stu Sutton, 1977, says, TV is evil, says Eamon Holmes. He should know. Has Eamon Holmes actually gone on record and said TV is evil? Is this purely contrived to do an Eamon Holmes joke? I don't know. All right, get well soon, Ames. I mean that genuinely, sincerely. Of course I do. All right, Rod Knee, that's their name, at Rod_Knee, says, I want to say thanks, Bo, and the rest of the Lotus Eaters crew. Keep calling out the insanity. Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. I mean, I can't help it. You guys know me now, I suppose, but by this point. I can't help myself. You don't find yourself sitting in a seat like this, doing a job like this, unless you sort of can't stop. You can't help yourself. I sort of need to get it off my chest. Sometimes people said, especially if you're going a bit of a rant on Twitter, they're like, are you all right? That passive-aggressive thing. Are you all right? Do you need a hug? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fine. This is good for me. This is cathartic. Yes, no, I'm fine. Yeah, thanks. You say thanks. Keep calling out the insanity. No, thank you for tuning in and doing a super chat. Thumbs up. Get the bell on. Make sure you sub to the channel. Okay, David Betts, 1180, says, 40 today. Oh, happy birthday. I want a Colin the Caterpillar cake. Oh, I know what they are, yeah. Yeah, they're not bad, are they? You're 40 today. Okay, the big 4-0. Welcome to the club, brother. Life begins at 40. General purpose aches and pains just for standing up begins at 40. I don't know. No, happy birthday. Many happy returns. 40 is the new 30. That's pure copium, isn't it? Just dial up the copium on that one. 40 is the new 30. Okay. Calzetti just says, make Wessex great again. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like the sound of that, yeah. The House of Wessex. The Kingdom of Wessex. I don't want none of that Northumberland, Mercia crap. I don't want that. I want Wessex. Let's make Wessex great again. Okay. The Wandering Grey, that's their name, says, watched Epochs 1 on the Hanno the Navigator yesterday. God, that sends me back. It's over 5 years ago now, that. You used to put, great stuff, but I got jump scared by a beardless bow. Going to watch them all in times 2 speed to catch up. Yeah, I watch it. For a long while, I never did that thing of watching stuff on 1.5 speed or times 2 speed. I was like, no, if I'm going to watch something. Oh. But in the last sort of, I don't know, year or so, I found it is actually really helpful, can be really helpful. Really helpful. So yeah, feel free to do that, of course. Yeah, Hanno the Navigator, God. That was Carl's pick, that was, when I first started Lotus Eaters. Do an Epochs on week one of working here. And I had it in my mind to do something about maybe Alexander or something like that. And Carl just said, no, I, Carl, want to do Hanno the Navigator. I'm like, oh, okay. I know a little bit about Hanno. I've heard of him. I know who that is. I don't know about it in, like, fantastic detail. For anyone who doesn't know, he's an ancient Carthaginian, very old, like, pre-Roman Republic era, sort of, was it? Carthaginian navigator who's supposed to have circumnavigated Africa, maybe. It's an interesting story, but it's so ancient. It's sort of more myth than man, you know. Anyway, I'm glad you liked it. Bit of a sort of odd one out of left field to be episode number one, but there you go. All right. Krish281 says, Jason Ardy went to the moon on a surfboard to kill Chuck Norris with his little toe. Yeah. He did all sorts, didn't he? I wonder... I think it was last week Stelios did a whole segment about it. Because I don't know all the details of all his lies. I only really know the ones that have been brought up in the legacy corporate mainstream media, or one or two that might pop up, happen to pop up on my Twitter timeline. I believe, I understand there's loads of different stuff he said. Yeah, just increasingly crazy liars. Increasingly absurd, sort of unbelievable liars. All right, Calzetti again says, Jews would never engage in fraud, don't believe you. Oh, he's talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, yeah. He's dishonest when it came to money. Who knew? Mr. Dickie Bingo says, galaxy-brained and pie-eating racist, Lammy, no tar. Thank you, Mr. Dickie Bingo. I appreciate your inputs every day. Super fan. Great chap. Met him at the live event. Okay, Tiger, who spells it T-Y-G-R-H, says, immigration, I guess. You've spelled it in an odd way with asterisks in there. Immigration in Slovenia is getting worse. People forget the Balkans don't take invaders lightly. If things get bad enough, we're going to see the resurgence of partisan militia. Oh, I hope not. Do you live in Slovenia then? That's interesting. I didn't know that. I'd have to get up quite so early in the morning to watch it then. But are you in Slovenia? You're saying if it gets bad, there'll be resurgence of partisan militia. Yeah, probably. Well, I would have thought so. Yeah, maybe, probably. It's the future. A lot of Europe is staring down now, and the United States, and maybe even Australia and stuff. There's a certain point where people won't take it anymore. They're being murdered and raped and replaced in their own land. Eventually, people won't take it anymore. If history tells us anything, it tells us that. Tiger again says, unlike other Western nations, we have a bloody history. I guess you are in Slovenia then. We have a very bloody history, and it is my fear it will repeat when we're being pushed too far. It could get real bad real fast. Yeah, that's often why it happens. Like an elastic band, stretching, stretching, stretching. People think, oh, there's no end to the amount of atrocities we will take. Oh, if we didn't act after that, if nobody did anything after that, then we'll never do anything. Oh, it's so depressing. And then the elastic band snaps. Yeah. It's worrying. I mean, it's what I've been talking about, isn't it? So I've been talking about here and on the state of politics, for a long while now. I'm not saying it because I want it to happen. I'm not saying it because history tells us that there's a sectarian nightmare on the horizon. Okay. Rodney says, the UK government and every organ of state are more obviously working to destroy the native population than the most badly written Bond villain. Yeah, it's sort of obvious, isn't it, at this stage? Yeah, to me, it seems. Really quite in your face, and even gaslighting you about it. When it's very, very obvious, you get gaslit. You're the problem. You want to go out and protest against the slaughter of the innocents by a Rwandan man? You're the problem. We guarantee you we'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. Right. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job says, it is I, Thaddeus Bungo McTitpop. I know Varas and Stelios had that argument and haven't been on the same panel since. Do they avoid each other in the hall too? Spill the beans. Oh, I didn't know that. Have they? I didn't know that. They had an argument. What argument? I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. I can tell you they don't avoid each other in the hall. Well, as far as I've seen, as far as I'm aware. They had an argument. What? On air, on the live podcast. I'll have to ask one or either of them about that. To be honest, I could spill the beans in one sense. If I'm not on the podcast, the afternoon podcast, I don't often watch it. Sometimes I do. Very often I don't. I've got other stuff I've got to do. Later, you see, sometimes even days later, I might see that there's a particular segment that's interesting to me. And I might watch that. But a lot of it will already be segments that I already sort of know about. I already know the story, so I don't need to be sort of told about it, brought up to speed on it. Or I don't care about it at all. It might be a segment about, I don't know, about like Barbie, the Barbie movie, or something like that. That one springs to mind. I'm just not interested in that, so I'm not watching it. So anyway, long and short of it is, quite often, I don't actually watch it. Maybe 20% of them I watch, something like that. Anyway, I didn't know Farras and Stelios had any sort of beef. I'll ask him about it. All right. WolfieX1789 says, you should run as a candidate. Aim higher, vote Bo. Millions must go. God bless you for all your hard work, Bo. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say. I've said before, I'm not hiding it. I'm not pretending anything. If they would have me, if they want to select me, I would do it. I highly suspect they won't want to. I would have thought I've said too many spicy things. But if they do, I'd do it. Yeah, why not? I'm prepared to step up, sure. It's not really sort of like my... it's exactly the same with Reform. I wasn't like seeking out to be selected for Reform. They just asked me. And I was like, yeah, okay then. Like, it's not my life's ambition to become an MP. But I would do it. I would do it. So there you go. There you go. I suspect I won't be approached to be selected. But if I was, sure. All right. Psycho Hobo says, here's a book recommendation. The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler. Koestler? I don't know how to pronounce that. It details the Khazarians' rise and fall, then became Ashkenazi Jews. Okay. I've never heard of that book or that author. But okay, thanks for the recommendation. Okay, and the last two here. Stu Sutton, 1977, says, I'm Stu KP8, by the way. Still the YouTube champion. All right. So Stu, I'll try and remember this then. Try and commit this to memory. Whenever it comes up, Stu K8P, that's actually Stu Sutton. I'll try and remember that, Stu. All right. And the last one here is from Max Robe, who says, Wessex, ? All trapped in a Thomas Hardy novel. I had a pop at Thomas Hardy on Twitter the other day, didn't I? If anyone follows me on Twitter. I just did a tweet out of nowhere, apropos of nothing, not retweeting anyone. I just said, ever read any books, any novels that are actually really lame? I'll start Tess of the D'Urbervilles, a Thomas Hardy novel. And Thomas Hardy is all West Country. That's famously what Thomas Hardy is. He actually writes a lot of his dialogue like it's a West Country accent, like that. It's hard to get through. I find it hard to get through a Thomas Hardy novel, myself, personally. Not really my cup of tea. Anyway, some people love them, though, don't they? Some people love Thomas Hardy. All right, that's the last one. So that's the show. It is now 24 minutes past nine. Don't say I'm not generous. It's supposed to be a one-hour show. 24 minutes past nine in the AM British summertime on Thursday, the 6th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me, my glorious band, chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. The most valuable thing you will ever have, your time. Try and make it count. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.